All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, today is March 4th, okay? And I just want you to know it's the only command in the calendar, March 4th. All right, you'll get that later. I think it's hilarious. Not everybody does. But anyway, today we are very fortunate. From the St. Rose office and someone I've been working with for years, we have, okay, Rebecca Ewing, welcome to the call. And hit star 6, Becky, if you could, please, so we can hear you. Star 6, not pound, the one on the left bottom. Okay. You know what you might have to do, Becky, is just hang up and dial right back in. Sometimes it doesn't recognize when you use your keypad. I don't know why it does that, but it does. Anyway, while she's there, I would say, everybody, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but the market is definitely picking up. It's spring. I think the spring market has sprung. My 12 years in Las Vegas, okay, I would say that just as a rough estimate, between now and July 4th is where most agents do about 65% of their business, 65, maybe even 70. So I would say get in gear if you're not. All right, Becky, are you back? That's interesting. Okay, Becky, I don't know if you've tried already once, but if you could dial in and hang up and dial back in, that'd be great. And then you'll have to hit star 6, of course, because everybody's been muted. I might have to do it. Can somebody else unmute? I can't. Hold on a second. You know what? Let me try that. That might work. Hold on a second.
Now everyone's unmuted, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now I've unmuted everybody. I don't know what's going on. There's something wrong with the line. So
hello,
everybody's gonna
testing.
Have to be quiet.
Check 1, 2, 3.
We were
here.
Not able to unmute,
sorry,
Rick. That's why.
Yeah.
I tried to hit star 6, and I tried to call in twice, but it kept muting me. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, thank you. I didn't
Rick,
even think about that. So I muted.
My suggestion, we all mute our phones except for both of you so we can have a clean.
Yeah, we all have to stop talking.
Can you hear me? Rick,
you can tell
when
you have great real estate agents. Yes.
Okay. I did star 6 to mute myself back, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, you have to, I don't even want to try it at this point. Everybody who's not Rebecca, just mute your phone if you could, please, and then we'll be fine because most people are on cell phones. That way it'll be nice and quiet. So anyway, let's start this all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, from the St. Rose office, we have Rebecca Ewing. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, tell everybody about yourself, how long you've been doing this, all that good stuff, please.
Okay. My name is Rebecca Ewing. I'm out of the St. Rose office. I have been in business for 4 years. I mean, a little bit about myself, what I did before. I was a pre-med student, applied to medical school, went through the whole process, MCAT, everything, realized I no longer wanted to be a doctor. So I had a useless biology degree and went back to school, got a master's. Meanwhile, I had my third child in my master's program. I'm a little bit unique that way. Got a master's in business administration, and here I am. I ended up in real estate. I was a little inspired. I thought real estate was beneath me in my educational aspirations, and I had met somebody who ran his real estate business like a business. He dressed well. He presented well. I was at that time helping manage a property for my family member. And
Rebecca, we lost you again.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, hello?
There you are, yes.
Okay. And, meeting him, it made me realize that there was a way, there was an opportunity.
I think we just lost everyone.
No.
I'm here.
We still, everyone's, yeah, we lost one person hung up, but we're good. We're losing everybody now, though. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So that gave me the opportunity to, you know, have my own business. You know, I realized that I could run real estate the same way that I could run a company, that I was able to not only be my own boss, make my own schedule, but I also have a passion for, you know, finance and money management. So that's something that I've been able to translate to my clients, as well as, you know, I immediately was, you know, a first adopter to, you know, start an LLC, have a separate business account, you know, try to do this 100% as a business and not just as a side hustle like a lot of people do.
Hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I love the perspective there, Becky, too, and it explains a lot. I kind of knew this. It's not like I'm hearing this for the first time, but it's kind of like it's ringing bells for me. It's probably why it made sense for you right off the bat to treat it like a business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of those important things for me is I've always been an athlete. You know, I used to run half marathons, and I run my life very disciplined. You know, I have a fitness coach. I have a, you know, I've gone to counseling. You know, I just believe in having accountability in my life. And so once I took Rick's Success Series, right after I got my license, I did post-licensing, and I immediately went into coaching, and I stuck with Rick for, you know, nearly 3.5 years until just recently. I took on a different business coach just for some variety, but Rick is still
absolutely
one of my closest people that I, you know, talk to whenever I'm in a bind. He knows me, he knows my business, and I think that's a huge component of staying focused in our business is having people who speak into your business, who keep you accountable, and really don't treat this like it's a hobby, right? You know, people who don't want to do business hide from people who are going to keep them accountable.
Yeah. And it's good to mix it up too. I would recommend people do the Mike Ferry, Tom Ferry, you know, even Brian Buffini, mix it up, come back into mine. Like Alberto does the same thing. Alberto, every, you know, year and a half, 2 years, he's back in my schedule for 6-9 months and then back on to somebody else. So that, I think it's a great idea, you know, because you know, we become friends, like we're friends now, but we can still obviously do coaching, but it's good to mix it up. I think it's a great idea. But it's funny you say that, because when you say, and I know what you mean by real estate beneath you, because it doesn't seem from the outside looking in at first, before you're involved in real estate, to be that much of a real business, does it?
No, absolutely not. Especially because there's a lot of people out there who give us bad names, right? They are part-timers who have messy contracts and are constantly in trouble. And when I really started to meet the people who are, I like the saying, you know, they hustle in silence. You know, they're not all out there, but they do a lot of business. They make a lot of money. They are successful. They're respectable. You know, those are the people you don't see in front of your face all the time. And when I really started to meet those people, I realized that this, those people run their business like a business. You know, they understand profit and loss statements. It's not just I've sold my friend's house. You know, they seek business. They have numbers that they track. You know, I'm big in the numbers. And, but, you know, once I realized that they ran it just like any other company, it really appealed to me.
Mm. Yeah, me too. It's funny because we have that in common because I felt the same way about real estate. I did it part-time. And then when I got into it, I realized, oh my God, if you treat this, like you said, I have sports background, discipline. I went to Catholic schools for 10 years. I mean, so when I looked at it, I was like, you know what? I think I can do well here. And, you know, did you like the fact that you're your own boss? You get to decide what you make. That was very attractive to me too early on.
Absolutely. So, I mean, those of you who, I don't know if you heard me early on, but I had my third kid in my master's program. And then I, by the time I started real estate, I have 5 daughters and they are all in school age. So, yes, obviously being able to make my own schedule, that was a huge benefit. You know, when I first started, I was like, that was the main focus, was to make my schedule fit around their lives. Cause even when I had started, I had children that were still not in school. This is the first year mm-hmm. I've ever had full time where I have all of my children in like 5 days a week school. But Rick knows me, right? I'm very type A, and mm-hmm. A lot of people make schedules and they don't follow them. That is not the case for me. My life mm-hmm. is planned out hour by hour. And when I realized that I could be highly effective working 5 hours a day sometimes and not needing to be in the office 12 hours a day like other people, mm-hmm. I really started to take off.
Yeah. And you went through the, and let's, you know, because like, is that, like you said, I know you well, we've been coaching together, and you started off, and because of your, you know, your background, like you said, successful in sports, and you're obviously, you know, your master's in business and so forth. Real estate, though, took you a little while. I mean, you're in gear now, and you're doing well, but it took a little while to get in gear, for you to get in gear, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there is a huge learning curve. I did not come from a sales background, and one of Rick's famous lines is, you know, don't be a secret agent. And I really had a hard time with that because I felt like being a salesperson was a dirty word. And once I embraced it, and I really think there's a set of skills that have to be learned in this job that are not taught in a class, and they're not taught in the bullpen in any office. There's growth that happens one-on-one. It was really important for me to get into role play. And it was important for me to do listing presentations, buyer presentations one-on-one, and get into that uncomfortable zone of honing in on my craft. But once I realized that that was what was lacking, I had a, you know, at that time I had joined a partner, and he was integral in that part of my business. If, you know, we really pushed each other to grow in our skills, you know, because we both were really close in our time that we'd been in the business, and we were both really passionate about, you know, striving to be more than just the average agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's great. And now I think you pretty much know, you get on the phone, you start prospecting, you start being proactive, and the business just starts showing up because you have momentum going now, which has got to be a whole different, I mean, the business goes from, oh my God, to, whoa, this is a pretty awesome deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there's always that thing in the back of my head that says, if I don't get a business in the middle of this transaction, there will be no business. I don't ever let off the gas. There's times where I have to take breaks for family or other things, but in the back of my mind, there's always a, if I don't prospect for business today, I will not have a deal in 90 days.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
Somebody's unmuted and being loud. So whoever that is, please mute yourself.
My bad. Sorry about that.
That's Carlos. I know that voice. Carlos, mute yourself, man. Come on. I'm glad you're on, though.
Everybody on mute. Sorry about that.
Rebecca, he just wanted everybody to know that your manager is now on the phone listening to your wonderful podcast interview.
Oh. Yep. So... It's been a great ride for sure.
Yeah, and tell them a little about, like, okay, so where do you, like, because I know you're proactive and I know you're prospecting, you're role playing, you all the good stuff that we talk about. So where do you get most of your business from, and how do you get it?
Okay, so I like to track. I'm a tracker. When I started, my numbers were 90% SOI, 10%. The unknown. I'd say I'm more about 70-30 these days, which I'm comfortable mm-hmm. with. I like to prospect. I don't hate prospecting, but I also have a massive SOI. I've lived here 25 mm-hmm. years, and I have far-reaching branches into a lot of community things because I've been very involved with my family and other things. And so, you know, I've recently started doing a lot more business focus on how do I nurture.
Hello, Auntie.
Get referrals from the people I know. But I also, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to develop the skills of how do I find business from people I don't know? Because another Rickism is, if I sell to everybody I know, then what? I don't want to run out of business. So I'm very diligent about trying to maintain a source of business that is not just the people I know and the people they know. So I prospect, I do phone calls, I door knock. I don't love open houses. I do them only for my own clients now. I stay top of mind on social media. I do spend quite a bit of time making sure I have content available in social media at all times. and then I do a lot of business with my SOI that requires me to spend. I learned to define my business now as lunches, coffees, and dinners, and hikes with friends and people in the SOI is business. It is work. You know, so when I schedule them like it's work. I put into my calendar one or two a week, I will do coffee with so-and-so because that is, people need to feel important. They need to feel seen. And if I don't make time for them, they don't remember me. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make sure that that has, that is, and it's paid tenfold, you know. I almost double, I almost do two sales out of every SOI person, which was shocking to you know, my former partner, Andrew, because that was not his deals. You know, his deals was he did a lot of sales with people he didn't know and they would move out of state or they'd do one transaction. Each SOI touch I do usually turns into two or three deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you work it well too. And you know, you have, you mentioned you have five daughters and you, well, I have to ask, does your husband like feel like outnumbered? Because he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it, there's definitely times where he's beside himself, definitely.
I can only imagine. But, no, my point is that your social media, like your involvement with your daughters, and they're all cute, and, you know, they look like they're achievers, too. You know, all the different things that you post and so forth. And people think, well, you know, I don't want to show my personal side, but showing your personal side, not only is it the right thing to do for your kids, and it's great, and give them recognition, but it also creates business for you, too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I learned early on, like I'm a bit of a rule follower. I made sure to have always have a social media account that is business and a social media account that is personal. I will share my business posts onto my personal page because I have a ton of friends on my personal page. And the thing about, I love sharing my personal life because people know I'm a real person. Because people love to mute people who only talk about business. They will mute them. They will unfollow them. And if I sneak business in between all my personal posts, people are my cheerleaders. They cheerlead for me. I run into them and they're like, oh, great, I just saw that house you sold. You know, I'm so proud of you. Or, hey, I know somebody, you know, you, that just jarred my memory. You know, maybe you can help them because they need to be reminded that I'm a mom and a friend, but I'm also a realtor. They, you know, by sharing my accomplishments in the business, they also remember who, what I do for a living.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. So true too. It's so true. And like, and I know that you are, you're involved with all kinds of stuff locally too. I know, like even stuff like going to Knights games. I think you guys are season ticket holders. I'm sure you meet people there and talk to them and get to know them. And so you can do some fun stuff and do business too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're season ticket holders for the Chargers, the Knights. I was a PTO president for a long time at my kids' school. You know, people tell me there's commitophobes and I'm a recovering commitment addict. I have to step back because I take too many commitments on, you know, but it also puts me in front of people because I love to be involved with things like that.
Yeah, and it's good. It's better to be overcommitted than undercommitted though, for sure. So, but a nice balance, and you have great balance too. So that's why I'm glad you brought up. And I was going to ask if you didn't, you know, how many children you have, and your marriage and so forth. Because, you know, people have excuses. Well, I have kids, and I have this, and really, if you're good at scheduling, and you know, and you put some effort into it, I mean, you can have all these, you know, all these plates spinning at the same time. You can be well balanced. I mean, there's no such thing as perfectly balanced. I don't even know what that would look like. But you can be functionally, you know, even more than functionally balanced if it's important to you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It has to be part of, you have to have discipline. I think discipline is the key word to all of that. You know, I just recently started getting involved in like office activities, but for a long time I just went to the office every day and I just worked. I had no time to talk to people. And I keep telling them, I'm like, I love you guys downstairs, but I have to be on the second floor because I don't want to like Rick and I always say, I don't want to have a squirrel moment. I want to focus on what I'm doing there. So, you know, discipline, I have to constantly tell myself, you know, stick to the schedule.
Right. And you're really good at that. So give me your top three. So I'm an agent coming out of the gates, or I'm an agent that wants to go to the next level. What would you tell them the three most important things to focus on would be?
First thing is role play. You know, you're not going to get better at this job if you don't learn how to practice these skills before you flub it up in front of a client. Number two is schedule. Be married to your schedule. Be flexible. There's times when things, you know, have to be changed, but know your schedule. You know, don't schedule a buyer consultation in the middle of your prospecting time. You know, there's a reason that a lot of these coaches say, you know, I only do listing appointments or buyer consultations between 3 and 5, because in the morning, that's when I prospect. So stick to that, because then when you do that, you do your money-making activities before you get overly involved in all your other stuff. And then, you know, the third one is know your numbers. There's nothing worse than an agent who doesn't know about our market. Because I've had those arguments where somebody's telling me, no, this is a such and such market. And I'm like, that's absolutely false, because I know the numbers and I can tell you what the numbers say. And so I think it's important, if you're going to call yourself a full-time professional or even a part-time professional, you should know what's happening in the Las Vegas market. And you don't have to Google a bunch of stuff. The MLS GLVAR provides it for you. They have, you know, it's on our page when we start. There's no excuse for not knowing what's happening in your market.
Plus, when you speak to people, by the way, I like GALVAR better too than GLVAR. It sounds so much, GALVAR sounded way cooler.
Yeah.
I don't know why they changed it. But anyway, no, I agree. I mean, well, and let me just throw a shameless plug in here. And as luck may have it, everything that Rebecca just mentioned, I will be talking about this week at Success Series at our new Summerlin Center campus. I know we have at least one of the managers on, Amanda Lopez. I almost said Francie. Amanda Lopez is on the call, and as well as Carlos. So we got to give Amanda a shout out there too. But yeah, all those things you're talking about, I mean, you're talking, and you know, you have a degree in it, so you understand. You're talking about business, basic business things. Communicate effectively. Know your numbers. All right. Follow a disciplined schedule, time block schedule. And you, with 5 daughters, would know as well as anybody that if you're not on a time block schedule, you might as well just forget about it, right?
My least favorite saying is, let's play it by ear.
Oh, my God, yeah. Especially if you being super disciplined and analytical. That, like, or this one, oh, just go by your feel.
I don't go with those kind of things.
Yeah, I know. Because everything has a mathematical formula. It really does. I mean, and I'm not saying that you don't add your because you add your personality, your sense of humor, you know, all of that stuff to it, but you have to have, you know, a schedule that you follow. It's very, I'm looking at mine right now on the computer screen. I know exactly what I'm doing all day, every day today from the minute I get up. People go, well, that's boring. I don't see it as boring whatsoever, and I know you don't either, right?
No. And guess what? We work hard and we play hard. I know you vacation every year. You go to beautiful places. You know, it's not like we don't enjoy life.
No, and you do too. You have. I didn't know you had the Chargers season tickets too. That's awesome. I love the Chargers because I lived in San Diego for a year too, and I love the Chargers. I think it's. I think they're overshadowed by the. I think they're going to have a big year this year too. They've made a lot of changes, so we'll see.
I'm excited to see with Harbaugh on board.
I'm excited to see Golden Knights, see if they can go back-to-back. I have a feeling. I'm just going to say it. You ready?
Okay.
Golden Knights and Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final this year. There
Let's
we go.
Do it.
I was the first to say
it.
All right, Rebecca, any final words you want to leave these lovely – by the way, thanks for your flexibility and versatility this morning while we had technical difficulties, but I think this is going to be a really good podcast for me to send out to everybody, and I'm going to do that. It's going to be on my YouTube channel. It's on all my podcast stuff, and it goes out on social media as well. So any final words you want to leave these lovely people?
What I'll say is if you are in Berkshire Hathaway, use Rick. I was not somebody who could pay for coaching right away, and so I tuned into this phone call for the first 6 months I started in business. You know, I went to Success Series. I picked up Rick as a coach, and, you know, I'm a walking, talking success, you know, due to Rick. And, my goal year is 30 deals and 10 million. So, you know, that's only possible through all the work that, you know, Rick put in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I never had concerns about you, and I told you that from day one. You just keep doing it. It's going to work. Now, there is a time, though, where some people quit and go the other way, and I always say it's right before the miracle happens normally. So keep going. Rebecca's a perfect example, and you are. And you had frustrating times. You kept going, and then kaboom, it exploded. And now 30 deals a year, I mean, that's incredible business, so congratulations.
Thank you. Yep, I appreciate you.
And you do have a wonderful manager, even though he can't work a mute button, but he's still a pretty good guy. There we go. All right, Rebecca. Becky, thanks for very much taking your time out this morning. I really appreciate you. That was great stuff. And I love the energy and enthusiasm that you bring to it, too. So keep it rolling. We'll do this again next week, everybody. Thanks, Becky. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye now.